Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. I know that's how we say it every time we get here. But the only way I can say it any differently is if I had a great big screaming guitar intro. Because that's how intense I see the Word of God as being in our lives and the blessing that it brings to us every single time we come to it, present ourselves to it, and receive from Almighty God another day. Now, today, we're reading in the book of Matthew, the life of Jesus. We are on day number 284 of this year. Now, if my math was a little better, I'd tell you how many more shopping days that is before Christmas. But I didn't figure that out yet. But anyways, welcome. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Those of you that may not know, in the link of the show, in the notes of this show, there's a link that says complete YouTube playlist. And there is a playlist that has every one of these. We're reading the Bible chronologically. You can start in Genesis and go all the way through the Bible with us. And study the Bible, grow and develop in God with us all the way through. It is amazing. And even if you're a greater Bible scholar than me, it's okay. We're walking together through this. And God Almighty is moving mightily in our lives and causing great growth and development in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Well, once again, for some reason, I forgot to share that opening prayer where I can read it, but it'll be all right. Father, in Jesus' name, we open up our spirit, soul, and our body to receive the Word of God in all of its power, authority, might, and dominion in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Matthew chapter, I did really good on that intro. It only took me 3 minutes.
That is really good.
Matthew 8, Jesus cleanses a leper. Now, we're in that point of Jesus' life where we're going to be talking about miracles, signs, wonders, teachings, trainings, all the way through life, all the way through Jesus' life. So from now on, just hold on. Good to have you with us, man. This is one preaching machine right here, Roger Oxy.
Yes, he is.
Out there getting it done. Love you, brother. Love you, love you, love you. Matthew 8:1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing, be clean. Notice that it didn't give you this big, long prayer that Jesus prayed. I am willing, be cleansed, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Jesus said he was the completion of the law and the prophets. He was coming to complete it. The cool thing about Jesus is if a man happened to beat leprosy in the Old Testament, then he could go to the priest and do all this stuff, you know, and be proven to be clean. All you had to do with Jesus is Jesus just look at you and say, be cleansed.
Be cleansed. Amen.
And you're made whole. Verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard him say this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed from that very hour. Matthew 8:14. When Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. Verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Do you realize that since Jesus took them, you don't need to? I had somebody tell me again today, I told God, give me all the pain.
Oh, goodness sake.
And all the battle. Nope. You're not worthy. Jesus is the only one worthy. And the only reason Jesus could do it is he lived a sinless life. Sinless. Did I make that plain enough of what not to do? And I've had people say, Pastor, as soon as I prayed, man, stuff happened to me everywhere. God was laying it on me. No, God was not laying that on you. Your mouth opened you up for the devil to abuse you, and you blame God. And that's exactly what our enemy wants you to do. Right?
Yeah.
You open your mouth and say, put it on me. I'll bear anything you give me. The enemy attacks you. God don't. And then the enemy gets you to blame God for it. And you say, God did this so I could prove to him how much I love him. No, you are not. Proving how much you love him is not receiving the grace of God in vain and pummeling it and driving it out of your life. And yet there'll be many people that will go to their grave suffering every single day of their life saying, I'm doing this for Jesus. And Jesus in heaven saying, oh, no, you're not. I suffered for you so you don't have to suffer. None of us have within us any ability to handle this. You don't. You can't do it. You don't. You sinned once for all. And I'm gone to preaching, and I need to be reading. You have to hold up that sign again. 18. When Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. on that night where he was. Another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Those are Jesus' words. Well, isn't that mean and hard? No. That's very bold and very much a leadership statement. 23. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. What was the last thing Jesus said to the disciples before they got into the boat?
Get in the boat.
Get in the boat.
Roger, I don't dare hold up a sign.
You know what the last thing that George Washington said to the men to embolden them to go across the Potomac before they went across the Potomac?
What?
Get in the boat. 23. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. But Jesus, notice that he's capitalized. He was asleep. His disciples came to him, woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing. The ship's going down. We're going to drown for sure, and you'll be the only one left alive. He said to them, why are you so fearful? You have little faith. He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Verse 28. Who was he? He was the Son of God, but the Son of Man, anointed by the Holy Spirit, understood his place in Adam. Remember, he's the one that told Adam what to do. And walking in the power of God. 28. And when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tomb, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass by there. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? A good way off from them was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. And the pigs looked up and said, why me? And Jesus said, you know. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Even a pig has enough sense to not carry around a demon. Then those who kept them fled, and they went their way into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Matthew chapter 8. Now, go with me to Brother Luke, the beloved physician, chapter 7. And we're going to be reading some of the same things, but it's a little bit different. Now, because what you find with these guys as they're writing, that their specific rendition of how it happened isn't in the exact same order as the others, and they might add an extra statement in where their writing was. And so we're just working our best to get them all in here as orderly as we can. One more, Reese PC. When he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. That's where Jesus' house was. Jesus Christ Evangelistic Association owned a house in the city of Capernaum. Probably just Jesus himself. And a certain centurion's son, servant, was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that one for whom he should be, one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. The centurion built him a synagogue. The military guy. It was a position of renown to be a centurion. Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Now, we're getting the same story, but a little bit of different details. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel. And those who were sent returning to the house went well, who had been sick unto death. And Jesus said that this man had great faith because he just said, speak the word and my servant shall be healed a long ways away. And we saw that over and over again during COVID. Somebody would say, please pray for my family. They had COVID. And we would go right into it, get serious about it, speak the word of God, and COVID would leave their life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you love it?
Amen.
Don't you love it? I mean, verse 11. Now, Jesus raises the widow of Nain. Happened that day. Now, it happened the day after that, that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. He came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus, notice that he is capitalized, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And the report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. You know, in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mm-hmm. If you raise somebody from the dead that's causing somebody to be full of grief, then you will be comforted. Now, the only situation with that is when they finally get to be old, sooner or later, you got to let them go.
They'll be really mad at you when you bring them back.
The story, I forget who told it. Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin, somebody said, there was a lady, and I'm not sure if it was the lady that kept dying or the man that kept dying, one or the other. And the other mate would bring him back and say, no, you can't go, I need you. And this happened like three times, like separate times, not like three times in one day. Finally, the mate said, I'm going, and don't bring me back.
Or I'm taking you with me.
You might say, Pastor, how can you laugh at something like that and make fun of it? Well, I'm not making fun of it, but what it shows you is literally how much authority we actually have in our own lives and on this earth to help other people be with us. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that died that didn't want to. They died too early because it wasn't their time yet. But they didn't know how to stay here. You are the commander of your vessel. Command it to produce life for you. You are the spirit. You have a soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion, and you live in this body. This is your earth suit. Tell this body to be healthy. And then be careful how many Reese pieces you feed it.
Well, and like Paul said, sorrow not. And to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. So we should all be joyful with that.
Well, except if you're young and you die, you got right. family and children that are depending
right.
on mom.
Right. Like the older people that just wanted to leave. Sorrow not.
I've heard Dr. Barclay say it over and over. If I go and you call me back, you better have run a long ways away. King. Luke 7:18. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? This is John, Jesus' own cousin, that is now questioning, were you the Messiah? When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour he cured many infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. That the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who's not offended because of me. John was going to die at an early age. John died before Jesus did. 24. When the messengers of John had departed and began to speak to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. For I say to you, among those who are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Say it with me. I'm in the kingdom.
I'm in the kingdom.
And you're greater than John the Baptist. We get to have Jesus living inside of us. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, to what then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace, calling to one another, saying, we played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We mourned to you and you did not weep. John the Baptist neither came eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say he has a demon. The Son of Man come eating and drinking. And you say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. 35. Wisdom is justified by all her children. Wow. Wisdom has a complete understanding of the whole picture, justified by all of her children. 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. When the Pharisees had invited him, saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner." Isn't it something that the Pharisee let her in his house? Kind of makes you wonder if she was welcome there.
Yeah.
40. I love this. Jesus answered and said to the Pharisee, "Simon, I have something to say to you." He said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" And Simon said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and he said, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Given us the example to say that over people. 49. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And her faith was connected to the fragrant oil she came and poured out on his feet. Unashamed, in front of those religious leaders and lawyers, unashamed, but she didn't just come with perfume. She didn't just come to kiss Jesus' feet. She came to get the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus looked at her and said, "Your sins are forgiven." And he looked at Simon and said, "What's your deal, Buster? I showed up here and you didn't give me any of this. And you want me to condemn her?" See, that's not Jesus' way. Don't be that person that stands on the side and pharisaically judges a person who's happy. Just don't be that person. It's just not wisdom. It's just not wisdom. Well, there is our reading for today.
Wonderful.
Jesus in a boat calms the sea, continually speak the rest of this year when there's in the fall season where they want to name it that horrible season. Bind that in Jesus' name. Bind every tropical storm that tries to grow and develop so we have peace. And speak over every state in the union that we cast down every single abortion bill that's trying to get put on the ballot. And may they fail. May they not even get on the ballot. May they not have enough votes to get on the ballot.
Amen.
And may those wicked financiers who try to do that, may they fail. You might say, "Pastor, what's that got to do with today's lesson?" Jesus stood up in the boat, took authority. Jesus looked at the Pharisee and said, "This woman's done more than you." Everywhere Jesus went, he operated and represented God Almighty. He went to where those two demons were controlling all the commerce on that road. Nobody would go by there. And Jesus crushed the enemy and brought great deliverance to those men's lives. And that's your responsibility and mine every single day. Now, it's time for us to pray the prayer of salvation so that no matter what, every person who is here today, in the future, even in the seven-year tribulation, has the ability to find our Jesus because we know how to help you get him. You ready? Everybody within the sound of my voice, pray this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my
life. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
life. And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Now here's your place to make your declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Fill me with, or put your hands up and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your love, mercy, grace, and righteousness.
All of your love, mercy, grace, and righteousness.
Filling me with all the fullness of God.
Filling me with all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live a successful life
as
a believer every day.
As a believer.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Give me some knuckles, dude. Welcome, Kingdom of God. Glad to have you with us. You found us. You made it. This is what we look like. Aren't we handsome critters? Well, don't call my wife a critter, but anyway, she's beautiful. But you found us. You searched your whole life, and God brought you by here tonight, this morning, today, whatever time it is. And you just found Jesus. Greatest decision you ever made was to pray those prayers for 2 minutes. And it's now transformed your whole life. You went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You went from sin to righteousness in a matter of a second. When you said, Jesus, come in, he said, all right, I'm coming and I'm bringing my whole team with me. Love, mercy, grace, righteousness, peace. And he came to live within you. Now you've been made new inside out. And God Almighty now lives within you. And from this day forward, your responsibility is to learn to walk with God every day. It's right in the 23rd Psalm. You lead me into the paths of righteousness. For your name's sake. Every day when you wake up, just say it. Everybody just say this with me. Father, help me walk with you today.
Father, help me walk with you today.
You know, if I had 1,000 people that prayed that prayer, the beginning of their day, at the end of their day, and all day long, we would change the whole world. You know why? Because if you pray that prayer, Father is going to help you walk with him. Because that's what he wants. And that's what you're doing. And we welcome you. Make sure you click like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell so that you're notified every time we come here. In Jesus' mighty name. And then, whatever you see Jesus do, and do thou likewise. Because he's our example, and he lives on the inside of you and me. Anything else? Thank you for being with us. Share this video. Click the little swoosh button. Share it with your family, your friends, your enemies, everybody you work with. Just tell them, man, this is a great program to help you understand the Bible with no condemnation. There's no condemnation in our life. We'll never condemn anybody. we're glad to have deliverance and forgiveness ourselves.
Amen.
I'm too appreciative of everything God's done for me to be worried about what God might be or might not be doing, or you might not be working hardly enough. Thank you for being a part of it. And any way we can be a blessing, my email address is right down there in the notes, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, and we will help you walk with God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Until we see you again tomorrow morning right here, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.